I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's out of town, and I'm here with Wayne. I have a testimony from Wayne about how good our God is, and this is something that's going to touch your heart, so put your spiritual seatbelt on. Wayne, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Thank you, Jesse.
Hey, Terry. That's all right. Wayne, I'm so impressed from what you've told me so far about your testimony. I asked you to come on the Terry and Jesse Show to give witness on how good our God is.
Amen.
So before it all happens in your conversion, can you share with our audience your background? Where did you grow up? What kind of life did you have? Were you in a Catholic home that was fervent, indifferent? Give us your background.
Well, I grew up right here in West Covina, California. I grew up in a home of fallen away Catholics. They had a concept of God, but they didn't really know who God was.
You know?
I mean, they believed in him,
sure,
but they didn't know him.
Sure. But did you, when you grew up in West Covina, I understand you also got into gang, the gangs. And a lot of times people who get into gangs are looking for like a family,
right,
where they can say, this is, I'm part of.
Right.
Can you tell a little background of how did you get into the gangs?
Well, I guess, growing up without a father,
mm-hmm, I didn't know that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I'm looking for a place to show me like what a man looks like, you know.
Makes sense.
The only ones that were there were my cousins who are, you know, they said that, you know, this is what a man is. You know, you fight, take what you have to take, you know, and, you know, you're pretty much like, it's aggressive and violent, you know.
That's what you grew up with. So how old were you when you started getting involved with the gangs?
Well, I would have to say like, I was like representing my neighborhood since I was like 14, 15 years old, until I got jumped into my neighborhood later on after juvenile hall camp.
I'm a little ignorant of all this. Right. I think maybe some of our listeners might be. When you represented your neighborhood, what does that mean?
To represent my neighborhood is just means like to proclaim my neighborhood, but I wasn't officially associated with them. I was associated with them, but I wasn't like an official gang member yet.
Got it.
Until later.
So there's a process.
Right. You know, just to like a brief idea of like how I grew up.
Yeah,
ever since I can grow up, ever since I can remember, was it's all been about drugs,
yeah,
sex, and violence.
You know, wow,
that's all I can remember. My aunt, for the life of me, I don't know why. I think Lord just blanked it from my mind, but my aunt told me that when I was a kid, like maybe like 4 or 5 years old, she walked into a room, and I was huddled in the corner, scared. And my uncle, who's schizophrenic, was watching pornography and masturbating.
Oh, no.
So she indicates that I was molested as a child. And so, like I said, and then like 11, 12, 13, 14, drugs, you know, and
yeah,
just fighting. You know, I had to, you know, prove myself, you know, this is what it is to be a man.
Oh, no.
So by the age of 15... I got sentenced to a 6-month camp term,
mm-hmm,
that turned into 2 years and 2 months. I was violent, you know, I mean, but as you know, I used to tell people that I turned a 6-month camp term into 2 years and 2 months.
Yes.
But within the last year, the Lord healing me from all the violence in my life,
wow,
he really communicated in my heart that I need to stop telling people.
Yeah.
That it was my fault,
yeah,
because I didn't get refiled on until a year and a half later. And to get refiled on means to to get another case put on you so that you can get more time. So I wasn't even supposed to do all that time.
Wow.
But my counselors and they forgot about me. You know, I love my mom and my grandmother, sure, and I forgive them. But, you know, they didn't ask no questions.
Wow.
You know, I just was forgotten. You know, I was lost in the system.
That's amazing.
And so by the time I came home, I was 17 before I turned 18, and I was angry.
I bet.
I was like, whoever steps in my way, I'm gonna
deck them.
Yeah, I'm gonna make sure that they'll remember me.
God bless you, brother. So then you actually, when you became 18 years old, you got in trouble with the law, so you went to prison. Is that a fair statement?
Right. Like I said, I was heavily involved in the gang, gang life by that time already. I turned 18. I went to the county jail for 2 months, and then I got out.
Yeah.
And then I encountered another rival gang member. We tried to kill him.
Oh my.
So I got in. I was incarcerated for attempted murder.
Oh no.
I was sentenced for 13 years. I ended up doing 15 years of my life in prison.
Wow.
Right.
Now in prison, because I know many people have told me, I have friends who are here praying at our chapel who have spent many years in prison, and many of them had their conversion in prison.
Right.
What experience did you have those years in prison? Was there any mystical, was there any turning to, you know, to the Lord in prison?
Well, at first, no. At first, the first 5 years, it was like, I would curse God.
Wow.
I blamed him for everything.
Wow.
I just didn't care, you know, I just didn't care about my life and everything. This is what I gave my life to. This is what I wanted to, I mean, like I said, I don't know, I mentioned before to you that my whole identity was wrapped up in this. So yeah. This is who I thought I was, and there was no alternative.
Right.
You know?
So tell us, how did Jesus Christ come into your life with Our Lady? Because I'm thinking statistically, you should probably still be, like, even though you did your time, most of the guys get out to go back in because they did some other problem. What stopped you from being a statistic?
Well, I guess, okay, the first 5 years in prison, I was like violent. I took off on correctional officers. I fought with them.
Wow.
I ended up doing three and a half years in the SHU. And what the SHU is, a segregated housing unit. It's like a prison within a prison. Ooh. Lockdown, you know, and all you're given in is boxers, T-shirt and socks.
Really?
And a jumpsuit to go on. Yeah, and a finger toothbrush and
That's it?
Yeah, and tooth powder.
How long did you live like that?
For 3 years and a half.
Oh,
my God. Yeah, so my first encounter with grace, I would say.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
Was an encounter with beauty first and foremost.
There you go.
You know, I was a stupid kid, you know, and the homies would encourage me to educate myself. So I graduated high school, but I didn't know how to read and write that well. So I would grab a dictionary and a book, and I would read it. Well, it was T to C. Eventually, I ended up falling in love with literature.
Really?
And art and poetry. And the thought came to my mind that, you know, like, that the world was much more bigger than my little world. And I thought, like, what the hell am I giving my life
to?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. So I ended up getting out of the SHU.
Okay.
And when I got out of the SHU, I went to the mainline, level 4 Delano Prison.
Yep.
And in 2006, and several months after I was in the yard, I just got up one morning, you know, really sick and tired of, you know, just tired of the violence, the perversion, the drugs, just everything. I was just tired. And I remember getting up off my bunk, the top bunk. My cellie was in the bottom bunk. He was asleep early in the morning. And we have a curtain where we to separate the beds from the toilets because they're so close.
Sure.
And as soon as I close the curtain, my knees hit the ground.
Yeah.
And as soon as my knees hit the ground, the Lord quickened my mind of everything I've ever done wrong. And so I was on my knees for a very, very long time.
Wow.
And I remember for 3 nights I would cry myself to sleep. And the only prayers that I remember were the Our Father and the Hail Mary.
Where did you learn that from?
When I was a kid. Because we were fallen away Catholics, my mom still baptized me as a child. And when I was in juvenile hall, I would tell my mom, there's these different religions, Protestant and Catholic. You know, what am I? She said I was Catholic. So I would learn to pray the Hail Mary there.
Who taught you that? Somebody, a chaplain?
Yeah, it was a chaplain that would go there once in a while.
Did they give you like a little pamphlet on the rosary? Did they do that?
You know, they taught us. That's where I got my first communion and first my sacraments, right? But for some reason, it didn't click.
It didn't hit. Yeah, well, that's typical of kids, young people.
And so, yeah, I would pray those over and over and over and over. And because I had encounter with literature and truth, I knew that my mind desired the truth, and unless I had the truth, my mind would never be satisfied.
Yep.
And I knew that my heart desired intimacy and love.
Wow, that's a great grace.
And I remember the only thing that I can relate to God was the Bible, so I picked up the Bible and I would read it every single day.
Wow.
Every single day.
Sometimes
I would even go to the yard, and eventually when I realized that truth wasn't a concept or an idea, but a person, that changed everything for me.
Yeah. Wow. So all this took place in prison.
Yeah, in prison.
And how many years were you still in prison when you really gave your life to Christ?
I was about 5 years and a half, almost 5 years and a half.
So did you have mass in the prison?
Well, my first initial conversion was in a Protestant perspective.
No kidding.
Because men that were there giving their life to the Lord,
yeah,
were
Protestants, of course.
Right? So my first encounter was with them, and I would go to all the different denomination services, everything. And but one thing after months, I was realizing, like, Lord, you're the truth, and you said that you gave us the Spirit of Truth, and you promised that you'll guide us through all truth.
Yes.
And all these brothers are always at odds with each other,
yep.
And they're fighting each other with different ideas, yep, of understanding of the faith. And I was like, Lord, show me the fullness of the truth. And I would pray that every single day.
Really?
And one day I was watching something on TV called channel EWTN.
Oh, awesome.
And some guy was saying, like, the Catholic Church is the church that Christ established through the apostles.
Yes, authority.
And I'm like, what? And I'm like,
wow.
And then I was watching something on, after that, there was another episode, a show on Carmelite spirituality.
Yes.
And I was like, Lord, I want to know a little bit more about that. A few weeks later, I went into the chapel, and there's a chapel library, and there's never any Catholic stuff in there at all.
Really?
Ever.
That's sad.
I know. When I was there, there was never Catholic stuff. And I walked into the chapel library, and there was a catechism in the Catholic Church on the
awesome
top shelf right there. And I seen it. I grabbed it. And again, I would eat it up.
That's awesome. Hey, when we come back, I want to hear more about how you found Jesus in prison. Yeah. Maybe that's the title of this show. How did you find Jesus in prison? Why in prison? I have Wayne here. He's a young man that's thinking about becoming a priest. Yes, you'll find out more when we come back on the Terry and Jesse Show. I love conversion stories, don't you? We'll find out more about his conversion when we come right back. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse Show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle and he says to me, hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Justin's show and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on-fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse Show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
This is Terry Barber. I want to invite you to take advantage of having your funeral or your loved one's funeral at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina. It's a 115-year-old church, beautiful chapel. And all you got to do is call me at 661-972-7872, and I'll personally make the arrangements with your mortuary to have your funeral or your loved one's funeral here at Sacred Heart Chapel. You won't regret it. 661-972-7872. God love you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Thank you. I've got a conversion story. Man, I'm loving it. I'm on the edge of my chair. Wayne is telling us how he just came out of prison, or excuse me, he's in prison at the chapel, and he's looking for something to read. He never sees Catholic books up there. But this time there was a catechism of the Catholic Church. He pulls it down, and Wayne, what happened?
So I took it back to my cell, and I would, again, just like the Bible, I ate it up. I began to read it every day. And I know it was a grace, because as I was turning pages, my heart was burning inside of me, and I knew that this was the truth. Mm-hmm. I knew it. I just, I was like, man, Lord, thank you so much. This is the truth. And I began to believe and understand everything of the faith, the hierarchy, all of it. But there was one thing that I didn't understand.
What's that?
Is where Our Lady fit in my relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And that was the hurdle that I had to leap over.
Just a background, were you told in prison by some of the Protestants mm-hmm. that devotion to Mary took you away from Jesus? Was that kind of something that might have been placed in your mind?
Right, yeah, of course. I mean, that isn't the typical Protestant inside there. They're mostly, a lot of them are Hispanic.
Yeah, so they're ex-Catholics.
Ex-Catholic, baptized, yeah. Raised Catholic, but...
So how did Our Lady? How did that obstacle get over?
And you know, I'm gonna say this, this is how I know Our Lady really, really loves us. You know, as her sons and her only son. So one day I was telling the Lord, I thank you for the faith. You know, thank you for the fullness of the truth. But I don't know where your mother fits in my relationship with you. So I said. Oh, Lord, if this prayer is wrong, please forgive me. I said, Mary.
I love it.
I don't know where you fit in my relationship with Christ, but if you're real and you're true, reveal yourself to me. The moment I said that prayer, her presence came into my cell.
Wow.
It was so overwhelming. I mean, I felt like she embraced me. And it was so overwhelming, I couldn't even breathe. And I was like, okay, all right.
Wow.
And I fell asleep, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and her presence was still there. Amen. And ever since, you know, I've fallen deeply in love with Our Lady. I would pray the rosary 3 times a day.
Well, who taught you how to pray the rosary? I want to know.
There's a priest that would come in once a week. And, he would have the stuff, you know, to teach us how to pray the rosary. You know, so I would get everything I needed from him.
That's awesome.
And, okay.
No, were there any other men in prison who would pray the rosary with you? Or it was just pretty much, devotion was very... you just did it on your own.
Right. I mean, there's not many Catholics who are really practicing their faith, if they are. A few weeks later, after that that encounter with Our Lady, I asked the Father, Father, can you hear my confession? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I said my confession, I laid everything on the table.
Wow.
And the moment I heard the words of absolution,
yes.
I mean, I physically felt on my skin as if a bucket of water poured over my whole body.
That's great.
Yeah.
So how many years are we talking? Did you ever go to confession before that?
I didn't even know the concept of confession until I read the catechism.
The catechism. So this was your first confession of your entire life.
Right.
Wow.
And I mean, I've done a lot of ugly stuff. My paperwork says that I was an associate of the Mexican Mafia.
Ouch.
So, yeah, so there was a... I mean, I've done a lot of ugly stuff in my life, but you know...
Thank you, Jesus.
God's mercy is so great, so amazing. Like, all we have to do is give him our yes and watch what he'll do with our life.
Bishop Sheen said it this way. The only value in saying yes to God is you have the freedom to say no.
Right.
Free will. You had the freedom to choose God or to choose the world.
Yeah, amen. And freedom is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us.
It is. Free will.
Because it's a participation in God's freedom.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. So now you read the catechism. When you say you read the catechism, did you read chapters or did you actually read, you know, from the beginning to the end?
Right.
What?
Yeah.
How long did that take?
It took me a while. I mean,
you read the whole book.
Yeah, and of course I didn't absorb everything.
No, I get it.
Right? But, you know, I would go back here and there, but yeah.
So all these things like the four marks of the church and the apostolic fathers and all of that you read.
Right.
You know, folks, if you haven't read the catechism, Wayne's making you read it on your own. I mean, this young man ends up reading his Bible, then gets a catechism and says, I'm going to read the whole thing. Now, if he can do it, you can do it. I can do it. Wayne, as you move along in your faith, did you have the idea of asking Jesus Christ for more faith every day? Did someone ever give you that concept? Because I tell people all the time that if you're not asking for your faith to grow, right. It won't grow.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Of course, you know, when and the evidence of asking God to help me and grow in my faith is he brings things into our life to help us grow. And sometimes it doesn't feel so good.
So when you came out of prison, you had how many years of really studying your faith? Like 2-3 years?
10 years.
10 years of it. Wow.
About 10 years.
But here's the question I have, talking to my friends who have spent long years in prison. When they come out, it's very difficult to, you know, get yourself back into living a normal life because you're so used to being in prison.
Right.
How did that transition take place?
I mean, I had my hurdles. The first thing I encountered, you know, was just getting used to being around so many people, just all over the place. I would go, my aunt would take me to the movies, and I would start sweating and getting anxious because so many
anxiety.
People around me.
Wow. Yeah.
I would at a restaurant, I would feel not comfortable allowing people to be going, walking behind me.
Because you're afraid they're going to hurt you.
Yeah, just because I spent all my time in level 4, and so that's high security. So it's like there's always something going on. Yeah. I would always have to be on my toes. Yeah.
Hey, I do that with my family. I always sit in a position to say if something goes down, I want to be able to defend my family.
Absolutely. That's your responsibility.
Yeah, so I can relate to that. But how did you make the transition from now that you're a free man to, I mean, did you associate with some Catholic organizations that helped you in your faith?
Right. So when I first came home, I lived next to St. Christopher's.
Oh, yeah.
And the first day at Mass, after Mass, I was right there on the side where they were having donuts and coffee. And I said this prayer in my heart. I was like, Lord, I really need some kind of group or a fellowship to help me grow.
Sure.
You know, support. And as soon as I said that prayer, one of my brothers named Edgar Mendoza.
I know him.
He came walking up to me and said, hey, brother, we have this Catholic Men Fellowship, you know. And I was like, whoa, hold up, man. I just prayed this prayer right now. And he's like, what? And I just gave him a spill of my life. And he's like, man, he's like, you got to come to this men's fellowship. And, you know, I have to really, really convey that these men at the men's fellowship that I encountered, some of these guys are cops, sheriffs, and they embraced me, accepted me with everything
awesome.
On my testimony. And it's like, I cannot forget the generosity and the love that these men showed me.
Incredibly important.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I really believe that. You know, one of the verses that I hold really true is that where in Hebrews where it says that encourage one another while it's called today, lest the deceitfulness of sin into your heart.
Wow.
So we need that edification and building each other up because we can't fight this fight alone.
No.
You know, just like when I was in the neighborhood, we had each other's back. Yeah. You know, this is a greater fight that we're fighting. It's a battle and it's a war, but that we need each other in it.
So you used to fight a battle on planet Earth,
right,
in the sense of physically, in the gangs, and now you understand spiritual warfare.
Absolutely.
And the benefit of staying in the state of grace.
Absolutely. Right.
And so now, Wayne, as you get closer and closer, you got the men's group. What's the name of the men's group so we can give them a plug?
Yeah, Catholic Men's Fellowship.
Ah, great. God bless Catholic Men's Fellowship. We have a lot of our friends that are listening that are in that group. And I'm sure they're going to be happy to hear from you. So now you start going to this men's group, and you're falling deeper in love with Jesus. You got the support of the men.
Right.
What takes place next in your life?
Well, a few months after that, I got diagnosed with a form of PTSD and severe alopecia areata.
I don't even know what that.
Well, it's all my hair fell out.
Is that like from stress?
Yeah, stress induced, right?
Oh my gosh.
So for about a year, I had no hair.
You know. You mean like me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, but completely bald. Yeah.
Wow.
So I was going to a program in downtown LA, and they plugged me in to because I think we have to really communicate this. You know, when guys come home, even if they're serving the faith, it's very pivotal. And I read an article; it's so true that the first thing within the first 2 weeks, a person has to have a stable roof over his head.
Yeah.
And work.
Makes sense.
Right. You know, to help, you know.
Focus in life.
Right.
Purpose.
So I was working and everything. This program would help me do that. And they plugged me into the film industry. And I was a production assistant for a whole year.
Really?
Yeah. And towards the end, you know, to back up, I got engaged, you know, with a beautiful woman. I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with.
Sure.
I fell in love with her. And towards the end of the year working in the film industry, she told me she's Protestant. And she told me that and she really loves the Lord. And she told me that she doesn't think the Lord wanted me to continue working in the film industry. And one day I was working at a job in the art department. Mm-hmm. Me and a guy were building some backdrops for a set. And we didn't know what the job was for. After we finished, the guy that hired us came into the warehouse. And the other guy, I was sweeping up the dust. And the other guy said, "Say, oh, so what's the job for?" And he was like, "Oh, it's the new Orange is Black or something. It's a interview with that transgender."
Oh, no.
And as soon as he said that, I really felt like that interior voice. It was clear. It was clear. And it says, "See, you're indirectly participating in the lies being communicated in society." Yeah. And so I was like, "Okay, Lord," because I had just got an opportunity. I'm an artist, so I had just got an opportunity to do storyboarding.
Yes, that's
paid very well.
Oh, yeah, they do. Those guys get good money.
And I was being able to draw for the rest of my life, and the Lord was saying no. Yeah. And that was very difficult, but I was like, "Okay, Lord, I need to pay the bills."
Yeah.
So a guy that I know from the Catholic Men's Fellowship. He works with the Carmelite at the Carmelite retreat house in Alhambra, and he told me that they're hiring over here, and he doesn't know what's going on over my life.
No.
And he's like, he puts a plug to all the brothers saying they're hiring over here. So I go, and I see the sisters, I interview, and I get hired over there.
Yeah.
And so I've been working there for about a year now. Within the last like 4 or 5 months. Well, earlier this year, most of the sisters know my testimony, and I was telling her the date that I got incarcerated because she asked me. She's like, I told her it was the July 16th, 2001.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
And she looked at me all weird, and I was like, I was like, "What are you looking at?" She's like, "That's the feast day of Our Lady of Mount Carmel."
Of course.
And I'm like, "What? No way." You know, and just show me that Our Lady's been looking out for me for a long time, you know.
When we come back from the break, I want to ask you about another gang member who had an encounter with Jesus and Mary, who you met later and had a little different respect, he's become a good friend of yours, but I just want to let our listeners know how that took place and his background, and then to have you two connect after you guys both have an encounter with Jesus, the results of your friendship. Before, I understand you guys were at odds on the streets, and what brought you to become best of friends. I want to hear that story, and I know our listeners do too.
Amen.
You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I would say I'm too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed, and if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire. When we come back, we're going to hear from Wayne telling us his story of his conversion story. We'll be back with much more on Virgin Most Powerful. Hi, this is Terry Barber. I want to share with you a wonderful program called The Legacy of Love and Devotion. Well, what is it? Well, it's where you share your life and love of your Catholic faith with your family for the next century and beyond. Let's face it, our Lord is going to call you home at some time, and how are you going to evangelize your relatives in the future? Well, by coming into my studio via telephone call and telling your story of how you love Jesus and Mary and the church, and giving information to your grandchildren and beyond their love for the Catholic faith. How does it work? I'm going to tell you more if you call me on my cell phone, 661-972-7872, and I'll give you all the details of how you can pass on your Catholic faith to the next generation and the following generations. It's a very unique program. I want to tell you more about it. Call me at 661-972-7872. God love you.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back. Jesse's not in today, but man, am I having a conversion story. I love conversion stories. Yes, I'm the knucklehead who got the Scott Hahn conversion, Tim Staples, Steve Ray, Jesse Romero. All these conversion stories have touched people. And Wayne right now is telling us his testimony, and you can listen to it all on the podcast if you're just jumping in right now to listen, because it's a great one. I was asking Wayne earlier in the conversation about how forgiveness and how Christ and Our Lady has touched your heart, and you had an example of, I don't know, what do you call them, not homies, somebody who was on the street when you were young who would have been an adversary and that you probably would have done some damage to if you saw him on the street. Now, years later, I mean, both of you did time in prison, but now you guys are working at the same place and you're best of friends. That's just a great story. How did that take place?
Well, okay, the same individual that contacted me, yes, the brothers and said that they're hiring at the on the retreat house.
Yes.
It's the same guy that if we seen each other on the streets, would probably try to kill each other.
When you were a younger man.
When we were a younger man.
Right. And not because you didn't like him. It was because he was on the wrong side of the fence or wrong team, so to speak.
Right. Yeah.
And now that you've both had an encounter with Jesus Christ, mm-hmm, how do you see each other now?
He's one of my best friends.
I love it. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. You know, when men and women have encounter with Christ, it radically changed your life. You know? And we share the same love for Christ and Our Lady in the church. No.
Wow. Now, Wayne, I want to understand your love for Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. You've been going to daily mass. You make visits to the Blessed Sacrament. How has that given you a focus in what you think God's calling you to do now?
Well, like I said, I was about to be hired to be a storyboarder. I actually got hired to do Mattel, storyboarding for them. But then, so I'm working at the Carmelite Sisters, and I'm really angry at this time. I was like, Lord, what are you doing? Forgive me.
Yeah.
But this is how I felt. I was like, Lord, I'm washing dishes. I don't want to do this.
Yeah. You know?
And I know that's my pride. But
wow, humility here,
right?
Man. Wow.
And I knew washing dishes.
I love it.
Eventually, I mean, I'm able to go to mass every day. I'm able to go to adoration.
Awesome.
So I'm doing all this, and then eventually I begin to realize that the Lord needs to humble me because He can't use arrogant people.
It's true.
Right? So he said, being in adoration, the Lord's really communicating to me that He wants me to be still, because if I'm not still, He can't communicate to me, because I'm letting everything distract me from what He's trying to communicate to me. And I've been going to adoration there for almost every day. And so within the last few months, I've made a big decision in regards to my fiance. I'm contemplating the priesthood now.
So wait a minute, time out, guys. Wayne, I heard you say you made a big decision. So what did you tell your girlfriend? Did you tell her straight up that, hey, I think God's calling me to be a priest? Well, I mean, come on. Uh-huh. I mean, I've had friends, many friends who are priests today have that same conversation with their girlfriend.
Well, I love her so much.
Yeah.
And I still have a heart for her.
Sure.
You know, there's nothing to take away that.
Yeah.
You know, we shared so many things, you know, within the last 2 years. Well, we were going to marriage prep.
Yes.
And Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
And Father Jim Kelly,
he's a good man.
He wanted to know a little bit of our backstory.
Sure.
So we talk about our backstory, and when he finds out that she was baptized Catholic.
Yes.
Because we were going to get a dispensation to get married outside the church.
Right.
To get married in her church. And he told her, and God bless him, because this is God's providence.
The truth.
Right.
Yep.
He told her, he's like, because you were baptized Catholic, I would have to ask you to if you are willing to renounce the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And she didn't skip a beat. You know, she said, yeah, I renounce the Catholic
Church.
Wow. And it really crushed my heart because previously we had talked about the reality of, you know, my responsibility as a Catholic to baptize our children and to raise our children Catholic.
Wow.
And there's always been a little bit of strife with that, you know. And eventually I realized, after that, I realized, like, man, I love this woman so much, but is it just to go through a marriage that she's going to fight me tooth and nail to
all the way through
to baptize and raise them Catholic? You know, it's like, that is not fair to any of us or for the children, because like, these children grow up confused and then maybe even leave God, you know? So, and through this prayer, but I felt it in my heart. I always thought would come up, always, like, you know, when we were together, like, what if I was a priest?
Yeah.
What if we'd be able to give the sacraments to the people that actually need it? And, so I talked, one of my spiritual director, my spiritual director is Father Donald, and he's a Carmelite priest.
Good.
He, I've been seeing him for a while, and I had told him the spill, and I told him everything, and he told me, he's like, you know, if you guys got married now, there would be already room for an annulment because of everything else, you know? And he's like, I suggest that, and I had prayed this to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Our Lady, and I said it, like, and I really felt like he was going to say something in regards to the priest. It would probably be best if you postpone the marriage indefinitely. And he looked at me and he says, I see the priesthood. And as soon as I said that, I was like, I knew he was telling the truth. I knew it because I felt it in my heart. And I, be honest with you, I felt for a long time, I felt like Jonah, you know, running from the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And, she's like, I had told her, communicated this to her a little bit, and she's like, let's see this counselor, because we were seeing a Christian counselor, and she's like, she wanted to go see her with him again. So 2 hours before we went to go see her, I told her to drop me off at Assumption.
I know it, in Upland.
In Pasadena. This one.
Oh, this one's in Pasadena. Yeah. Okay.
And I walked in, and I was praying before my on my knees before the cross in the tabernacle. And I was praying, I looked up, and I really felt it pressed upon my heart. And I know we know this, but this was really pressed in my heart. It's like the Lord freely chose and accepted to be beat and mocked. They freely chose and accepted to carry a cross. He freely chose and accepted the nails in his hands and feet.
Yeah.
And he freely chose and accepted death on a cross.
Yeah.
And I felt him asking me to participate with him on the cross as a sign and contradiction. And I know that's exactly what a priest is. As a sign and a contradiction. So that's the journey I'm on right now. And I communicate this to her. And she felt in her heart, she says, I felt like the Lord was telling me that to let me go.
Yeah.
And God bless her. But this was not without pain.
Powerful. Of
not without pain, because it's the hardest thing I've ever done. You know, it's the hardest thing. It was even harder pulling away from my gang, because my whole identity was wrapped in the gang life, you know?
Yeah.
This is who I thought I was.
Sure.
And it wasn't as hard as, you know, making this decision that I had to make. Because I had to make it. And like the Lord is he gives us free will, like you said earlier.
Yes, he does.
And he wanted me to freely choose him.
It's a powerful story. Now, when you read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and you read the section on the sacraments, and you read about the priesthood, and what the priest does, and confession, you know, what the Mass is about. Do you think that had some effect on you with the priesthood by just, you know, reading the catechism and understanding what these sacraments are for the first time? I mean, did that seem attractive even back in when you were in prison reading the catechism?
Right. You know, there's one thing that I've always carried in my heart.
Tell me.
You know, a desire to edify, encourage, and build up the faithful. You know, build up my brothers and sisters, right?
Yeah.
Be in the midst of the church and be do that work. And there's a part of the catechism that talks about the priesthood.
Yes.
Where it says that they are there to encourage.
That's right.
Build up and edify
the
brothers and sisters in the faith.
I get it.
Right? And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's my heart's desire.
Now, Wayne, I'm going to ask our listeners to be praying for you by name, their rosaries, their visits to the Blessed Sacrament, because I understand now you've actually contacted different orders of priests that you're working with to see if some of the good, what I call orthodox orders, who are not going to compromise on the magisterium of the church, the real deal, the real priests who are out there proclaiming Christ and Him crucified, So now that you're at that stage of investigating orders, have you made a commitment to actually go see some of these orders, or actually is that what you're in right now?
Well, yeah, I haven't really I've been contacting the MICs.
That's the Father Donald Calloway, the Marian Helpers. Right. Go ahead.
And the reason why, and my heart's on them, you know, but I've been looking at
Fathers of Mercy, maybe?
Fathers of Mercy, I've been thinking, I thought about them, but the CFRs.
Oh, yeah. That's Father Benedict Rochelle's order.
Right. I've been thinking about them because at the end of the day, I really feel like religious life is for me, suited for me, because I need that.
No, I can get that. I see that more than a diocesan priest, and I'll tell you. The fact of the poverty, chastity, and obedience, I think, would fit you quite well, actually.
Amen.
That's my take on it. Amen. After just a few years being around.
And I just want to interject.
Sure.
The MICs, the reason why my heart's really on for them.
Yeah, why is that?
It's because they're dedicated and consecrated to Our Lady.
Of course they are.
You know, and I love Our Lady. You know, I've increased and grown in my relationship with and in my devotion to Our Lady, because we haven't even begun to honor Our Lady as we ought to.
I agree. And Father Mike Gately, I knew him as a teenager.
Right.
And now he's written 6 or 7 books. And he liked the idea of going to the Marian Helpers because of their devotion to Our Lady.
Right.
Father Don Calloway told me the same thing. That's what brought him to the Marian Helpers. I know many of the priests there. And they're all, many of them, it's interesting. I just met one of the priests on the phone who's going to come out and do a one-day seminar on the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Amen.
Let's see, it would be 10-10-20. Okay, so that's October 10th, 2020, here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. 4 talks on how to entrust yourself to Our Lady.
Amen, that's it.
And he has his own conversion story, living in the fast lane.
Right.
I'll let you hear his story, because that's part of the conference. But it seems to me the Marian Helpers get men who have had powerful testimonies in their life, where they've lived in the fast lane, like Father Don Calloway's example, but then they had a metanoia, which is that Greek term, conversion.
Turn
around. So it seems to me like that order does fit your life. I think.
Dedicated and consecrated to Our Lady.
Yep.
Eucharistic.
I love it. When we come back after this final break, I want to have Dennis or Wayne tell me this. That now that he's made that commitment to wanting to be a priest, what are you doing spiritually to prepare for that? And I want to ask you, our listeners, to pray for him. When we come back, we'll talk more with Wayne about his vocation to the priesthood.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, and I just want to call all the people, you know, I've got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I
so
love it.
Out there.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Yes, I'm back. Jesse will be back on Monday. I just want to thank all of you who support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. These conversion stories that I have on the radio are here to help you fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and His bride, the church. And we couldn't do it without your financial and prayerful support. So if you want to become a donor, just call 877-526-2151 or go to our website, which would be virginmostpowerfulradio.org. And we love to see you become a monthly donor, because then we start sending you downloads each month of Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, Father Bill Casey. We start forming you, kind of like what Wayne has been doing for the last several years in studying his faith. We make it easy, because not everybody has the time to read, but you can listen to these on your phone or as you're going to work, all these great teachings. Bishop Sheen is another one. Father Carapi on our website. So there's a lot of good catechetical material. Wayne, I was just wanting to summarize for those who just tuned in to talk about your conversion story. You spent a long time in prison. You came out of prison. You had an encounter with Jesus and Mary in prison. And now you're talking about the priesthood. And I want to ask you, now that you're discerning a vocation to the priesthood, what are you doing to develop your spiritual life? In other words, how do you stay focused on your goal of doing the will of God?
Well, for the most part, you know, I have myself a routine.
Yes.
I get up early in the morning.
Smart move.
Do the morning offering.
Smart.
I read.
Yeah.
The scriptures, and then I have a devotional book. Right now, I'm reading True Devotion to Our Lady.
Oh, Saint Louis de Montfort.
Right. And consecrating my day to Our Lady.
Excellent.
You know, I really believe with all my heart.
Tell me.
But if men and women will just surrender everything to Our Lady, because by doing that, you know, we love Christ, but we love Him imperfectly.
That's true.
But Our Lady loves Him perfectly.
That's right.
So through her Immaculate Heart, we can learn to love Christ perfectly.
Well said.
You know, and I know, and I have confidence that if I surrender my day and consecrate my day to Our Lady, that she's going to take care of me. She's going to make sure that everything is necessary for my salvation, for others, and I'm in good hands.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's
and
great.
Going to Mass every day.
Yeah.
And going to adoration.
Yeah.
And not, you know, I really encourage my brothers and sisters to go to confession, even if you don't have any mortal sin.
Sure.
You shouldn't wait till we have mortal sin to go to confession.
That's right.
Because confession is, we're not only getting forgiven for our sins, but we're also being healed.
Yeah.
From the sins that we've committed and are others inflicted upon us, you know? And then it's an encounter with our Lord. So, I mean, confession, you know, we encounter our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord wants to heal us there, you know?
Well, I've just confirmed, St. John Paul II, the second, said exactly the same thing. He called it confessions of devotion.
Right.
And receiving the graces. So I'm going to recommend, I've been doing this for years, saying at least once a month you go to confession. Now, I'm a bigger sinner than you. I go twice a month, every other week. And my wife goes every week. Why? Because she wants those graces for the sacrament. Yep. And so it's kind of like we call us your spiritual fitness trainers. Well, you want to be a good boxer or a good baseball player. Whatever it is, you have to practice.
Right.
Well, in the spiritual life, you need to practice and be spiritual exercises. And so, Wayne, you talked about adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Now, I know you're able to have access to a chapel with the Blessed Sacrament. So really, you can come in after work any hour and pray. And I say that because not everybody can do that.
No, I know. It's a real blessing and gift. And I mean, Terry, I really have to thank you for that.
Thank Jesus. Don't thank me, brother.
I mean, you were his instrument.
Yeah, but it's his church.
Amen.
It's not mine. Here's what I want to ask you, brother, is we only have a few minutes left in this segment. What would you tell individuals who are listening that has a son or a daughter who's really not practicing the faith? How can mom and dad, through their prayers or, you know, how can they introduce people who are so worldly, like you were at one time, to the person of Christ? What advice would you give to our listeners?
You know, the first and foremost is your witness.
Ah, that makes sense.
You know, practicing your faith.
Yep.
And not compromising. No. You know, and being consistent.
Yeah.
You know, when I gave my life to the Lord completely and fully when I was in prison, because of my cellies would see that I was consistent,
yeah,
and not faking,
right,
that a lot of them gave their life to the Lord.
That's awesome.
You know, I mean,
thank you, Jesus.
And it's all grace by the Lord, because mm-hmm. people want to see someone genuine.
Yeah.
They want to see someone that doesn't only talk about it or condemns, but really communicates the reality of a redeemed life, you know?
So people can see the difference in your life. In other words, people in prison, when they first met you, if they saw you when you first got in as an angry person mm-hmm. and kind of a guy, bad guy that you just don't want to look mean at because you might get hit or something bad to happen, to now this man who says, I'm in love with Jesus Christ, and you're going, okay, wait a minute, is this the same Wayne that I met years back? There's been a change here.
Right. You know, the cellie when I was saying he was asleep,
yeah,
because he's seen the metanoia.
Change? Yeah, the metanoia.
He was part of the Wiccan group there.
Oh, no.
One of,
no,
like, the right-hand man.
That's like satanic stuff, okay? Right. Devil worship, okay.
Yeah, witch stuff and spells and all that garbage. But because he's seen that I would really, really change, that he said he gave his life to the Lord.
What? That is so beautiful.
Yeah, and I know it was very like a controversy within his group too. And it's amazing to see what God does, you know. Like, when we say yes, watch what he does.
Yeah.
You know?
It's our yes. And, you know, Mother Teresa used to say that about saying yes to Jesus. And look what happened to her and her sisters. They're amazing.
Right.
So, mom and dad, example at home. You know, St. John Paul II wrote a letter to the families back in 1994, and he said the way the family goes is the way the culture goes.
Right.
So if mom and dad, I think one of the greatest things they can do for their kids is love their wife or love their husband. And when they see that love that you have for your wife or for your husband,
right,
that is a very powerful witness in the sacrament of marriage. And so I wanted to ask you, Wayne, that as you have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in your life, how can we help young people from making bad decisions when they're young? What else can we do for encouraging them to follow Jesus Christ?
Well, I think emphasizing where their identity comes from.
Ah.
You know, sometimes we allow the TV, the phones, and the media mm-hmm. to teach our children. And this is where they're grabbing their identity from. Uh-huh. The world is telling them that this is who they are, you know, or because they have these emotions or feelings like, oh, this is who you are because this is the way you feel. And that's not the truth. You know, our identity is wrapped up in the reality of who God is.
Amen.
You know, and that needs to be communicated to the children. You know, they need to know from their father and their mother what male and female intimacy looks like.
Yes.
You know? And there's a constant encouragement in their gifts, because God given our children and every young man, every human being, gifts and talents.
Amen.
You know, and they need to be recognized and fostered.
Yep. Well, you know, you're saying something that Cardinal Robert Sarah, who is the prefect for the doctrine and the liturgy, he wrote a book called The Day Is Now Far Spent from Ignatius Press.
Amen.
And I would encourage you to read it, because it is a book about conversion.
Amen.
And one of the things, Dennis, you're telling me is that we have to, you know, that talk is cheap. The supply exceeds demand.
Right.
We need to live our faith. And I think, you know, one of the things I've noticed I wrote a book called How to Share Your Faith with Anyone. So, but one of the things that I'm confirming, Dennis, in that is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Right. Absolutely.
And I think the fellowship, the men's fellowship,
right,
gave that as an example. They didn't try to woe you with talk. They loved you.
That's it.
They accepted you.
They accepted me. I mean, they would take me out to places. Like, yeah. I'm like, man, and they would, you know. I mean, there was a moment where I didn't have anything, and they'll pull money out of their pockets.
Wow.
I didn't even have to ask them. Wow. And it's like, and they'll give me work doing jobs here and there. I mean, these guys really, they showed their love, you know.
And that's why I think it's important for all men to have some affiliation with a men's group, whether it's the Knights of Columbus, our local men's group, because we need the accountability of each other.
Right. No, absolutely. Especially men.
Tell me.
You know, men, you know, we wonder, like, I love war movies. I don't know. I just love them. And I know a lot of guys do. It's because we, the patriarch King David says that, Lord, you made my hands, you prepared my hands for war.
Right.
Right. I mean, we have this desire to fight for something,
yep,
you know.
Yep.
And we fight as Christian Catholic men on our knees.
Right.
But
with
we
the
need
the rosary in our hand.
Right. With the rosary in our hand. But we need each other.
Yeah.
We need to encourage one another and build each other up.
That's right.
And have that camaraderie, that male bonding, you know, in the faith, you know. And sometimes, you know, people think that, to be humble and this you feminize men. But no, it's not the reality. True Catholic masculinity is, you know, is the reality, you know, being ourselves, being what God made us to be, you know, to be warriors in our home, to fight, you know, fight for our families, you know, fight for our cities, our workplaces,
Amen.
You know, and for one another, you know, to be on the front lines, you know, to stop just being in the pews, but doing what we have to do, you know.
Well said. We only have a couple minutes left, Wayne, but I really appreciate you being here and sharing your story of how Jesus Christ and Mary came into your life. And I want to encourage our listeners to take this program and send it to relatives. How many of us have relatives that are incarcerated? Lots.
Yeah.
And, you know, somehow get this to mom, get this to dad, because this can give us hope.
Absolutely.
And we all need hope.
Yep. God's mercy and his grace, he's just waiting to be poured out. Yeah. He's waiting to pour it out. All he's waiting for that yes.
Well, I want to ask you a question that I ask Jesse at the end of every show, Wayne. Mm-hmm. What state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace.
And what state shouldn't we be living in?
Mortal sin.
Exactly. He got it. He got an A+ on the quiz. Yep. I want to thank all of you. I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did of his testimony of falling deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Send this to your friends. This is a podcast. You can go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. and send it to anyone you want. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. As I like to say here at Virgin Most Powerful, full sheen ahead, because Bishop Sheen's canonization is moving forward. We're waiting for the date. And I'll tell you what, that man has brought a lot of souls into Christ's church. May God richly bless you. And on Monday, Jesse will be back here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Hope you have a great weekend, and may God bless you and your family. And thanks for all your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio. sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.